We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Welcome! Woo! I'm really excited. Okay, this is a really big deal. Well, at least for me it is. And hopefully you're going to enjoy it as well. But today's episode is super exciting. It is the 100th episode of Social Capital. I am very enthusiastic right now. I'm sure you can feel the energy, and hopefully that exudes throughout the rest of this episode. When I started, I had no idea how much fun this was going to be. I was actually really nervous to get started, but that's okay because I conquered my fear and just jumped right in and I did it. And now I just love what it is that I'm doing. I found that podcasting is an amazing experience. I'm thrilled beyond belief with how much love I've received from my listeners. It's so cool going out into networking events and meeting people going, oh my God, I feel like I know who you are already because I've heard you and I've been listening to your show. And I just think that's the coolest thing ever. So thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our listeners. Keep on listening. So many more awesome things to come. And thank you to all of our awesome guests that we've had on the show. In this milestone show, what I plan on doing is highlighting some of the favorite tips and conversations that I've had with past guests. Now, this was really tough because, well, we're on the 100th episode and I've had 99 guests, basically, give or take. So, you know, sifting through all of the awesome content and information that was shared was a bit challenging. But I do plan to go through, and I picked my top nine, or I guess I don't want to say top nine, just some nine really good juicy pieces of information that are definitely worth sharing with you. And as I said, that was really, really hard. But before we jump into that, I just want to share some other really fun statistics. So yes, episode 100. Woo! The other thing that's really exciting is that we've had over 6,000 downloads since we've started. Big accomplishment. And what's really cool is that we literally have listeners coast to coast, from California to New York. Just really cool. So thank you again. Shout out to all of our listeners. Really appreciate the continued love and support that you give. So now let's dive into some of these guests and the fantastic tips and advice that they've offered. So what I've done is I've gone through and I picked three of the questions that I typically ask. And if you're a frequent listener, you probably are familiar with some of these questions. And I picked a couple guests and their responses. And what we're going to do is just kind of talk through that and the feedback that they offered. And I'm just going to kind of regurgitate that information. So the first question that I love and I think is so much fun, and so many people had a fantastic input to share, is what would you tell yourself to do differently, or differently if you're 20 years old again, you know, your 20-year-old self. So that being said, I want to share why I like this question and why it's important. And one of the first things that my goal personally is continue to educate and empower others and support and nurture others. And I am sure you've heard, I teach at UW-Milwaukee, so adjunct professor. I'm in front of a number of young, eager, soon-to-be professionals. And one of the things that I really push for is for them to start networking and building their network, because that's going to really take them to that next level. But there is a lot of fear and uncertainty and hesitation around that, and they're just and they're not doing that. And even some of the younger members on my team at Keystone Click, I find, aren't as big into networking and really kind of building their community as I was when I was kind of their age. So I really want others to hear what professionals today that I do interview wish they would have done differently at their 20-year-old self, or tell themselves to do differently. So the first, recap here that we're going to dive into was episode number 86 with Christine Thierry.
I would tell myself myself a lot of things.
No sweet martini lunches.
Yeah, I was going to say lay off the martinis. So I think, you know, I wish I had sort of a better organized process of keeping my network in check. I think it's maybe easier now with social media where you can connect with somebody and then you sort of keep them in that digital Rolodex, where I feel as I would, we didn't have that digital Rolodex when I was in my 20s. And so you were doing a lot of paper keeping and dropping people notes, and you didn't always have their email and you couldn't find them online. And, you know, so I don't know if it would be so applicable today, but I do think there's a part of keeping organized it and actually spending some time on your network. Even if it's like one time a week, just cleaning up emails or getting back to people or remembering a birthday. But I think it's worth sort of setting up a system where you can have a little bit more of a personal touch with your network.
Well, besides the less martinis at lunch, one of the things I love that Christine said was talking about the organizational process and really having a system or a process or being organized and how you're nurturing your network or not even your network, just everything in general in life. The more systematized you are with getting your activities and your daily functions done, the more productive you are, the less clutter you have in your head. Right now I'm reading a book called Get Things Done, the Get Things Done approach and philosophy, and it's all about that, having a system, being organized. And I highly believe that the sooner you create a system for yourself in your professional and personal life, the more balanced you're going to be overall. So thanks, Christine, for that sound advice. And now the next guest that had some really fantastic input with regards to going back to your 20-year-old self was in episode 18 with Amy Anderson.
If you are listening right now and you're a 20-year-old or you know one, here's my advice. Be yourself and smile. I mean, if you can just show up as who you truly are, you know, don't try to sugarcoat your weaknesses or puff up your resume and then smile your way through your days, you will earn friends and allies that will help you find a path that you can't even imagine at this point. You know, being real, like you said earlier, Lori, and not being, you know, disrespectful or overly casual, if that's not appropriate, but just being who you really are without feigning any interest in an industry or a job or a person that you're actually not interested in. People can tell when you're phoning it in. Don't do that. Just show up as you. Be present, ask questions, admit that there's a lot of crap you don't know, and tell people what you really like and what you really think and what you really want, and then smile no matter what happens, because nothing that they say after that is personal. It's all about how they perceive the world and the people in it. And most likely they're giving you good feedback and good input. So smile and say, thank you. Just do you, you do you. And then allow the people that are attracted to who you are as a person and an employee or an entrepreneur to really help you and be drawn to you, because that's what happens when you show up as your real self. You attract, you know, what some people call a tribe. You attract that. And you'll naturally build that, but not if you don't show up as yourself. And being 20 is hard. It's not as hard as being like 13 probably, but being 20 is hard. And like, you may not feel like you have permission to go all in as you if you're not hanging out with your friends, but you do. You are the one who has to give yourself that permission to go all in and be all you, no matter who you're with. It's okay. And if you don't do it now, I mean, you know, trust me, 20 years later when you're 40, you're going to be like, God, I wish I would have started this sooner. So just do it now. Be yourself and smile. It's really not as...
All right. So Amy, wow, some great information there. What I love about this is the conversation about just being real and being yourself. It's so obvious and people can tell when you're being fake and they can smell it a mile away. And she just gives such sound advice about just, you know, being present and ask the questions. That's one thing I wish I did more in my early 20s was ask more questions. And I'm preaching to the students that I teach at just ask away. And even now, and regardless of age, asking the questions shows that you're genuinely interested. But my favorite piece that Amy says is to smile. A smile just has such an impact, and you can hear when people smile. I'm smiling right now. Can you hear it? You probably heard it in my energy when I started this episode. But it just changes the whole atmosphere of a room if someone is smiling, and it's an instant connection. You know, someone smiles at you and it just warms you up. And I think that's a fantastic piece of advice that Amy Anderson offered. So thank you, Amy. Okay, so the next question that I kind of dug into and pickled through all of my guests to figure out who had, I don't want to say the best advice because everyone has fantastic advice, but just something that really kind of made an impact and impression on me personally that I wanted to regurgitate to you again is how do you stay in front of or best nurture your network or community? This question is really important to me because I had my own experience with networking. And when I started, when I was in my early 20s, it was just go and meet as many people as you can. It was just fascinating how many individuals you knew. And then you started seeing people at different events and really starting to build some of these connections. And then before I knew it, I had, you know, like 500 business cards and I had no idea what to do with them. And I was forgetting who I was from what company and where I met them at. And I realized that the goal isn't to meet as many people as possible. It's to just build those long-lasting relationships, which comes down to nurturing those relationships. And that's why I like asking this question, because everyone's got a different strategy, approach, and philosophy to nurturing their network. So the first conversation that I'm going to share is with episode 81 with Jim Temmer.
I've been around for a while. I've run organizations for more than 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so when I started, there was no social networking. And now, of course, it's everywhere. But I think what you use in person, you also use online.
Yep.
You know, you be kind to people. You are honest. You don't gossip. And you make those connections. I mean, the weird things, you may shake your head and say, oh, that's kind of crazy. You know, really, do you have to send that happy birthday out on LinkedIn when you see it's someone's birthday? Or, you know, somebody just printed something or they published something. Yeah, get back to them. It's those little things, I think, that make a difference in any kind of relationship. And mm-hmm. I think the online relationships you have are, you treat them just the way you would if you're face-to-face with somebody. You know, if you have an article you want to publish or blog posting, all that stuff is great. But it really still comes down, to me at least, to one-on-one communication.
Short and sweet, but very impactful. What I liked about Jim's commentary here, the thing that stood out the most, besides the be kind to be honest, is his statement about it's the little things that make an impact. And there's so much truth to that. You know, you can just reach out to the world and share your information, but he mentioned like the happy birthday on LinkedIn or even on Facebook. And I like going out of my way and, you know, texting someone, hey, hope you have a great day on your birthday. Or if someone writes an article, you know, commenting, whether it's private or public, and just saying, hey, that was really good information. Thanks for sharing that. Those little things really do make a big impact. Thanks, Jim, for sharing that. The next guest that had some really insightful information around nurturing your network was in episode 77 with Mike Going.
Differently, but I'll also give you my little philosophy on networking as it sort of resonates with me.
Sure.
I envision two archery targets.
Okay.
One personal, one professional.
Okay.
They will commingle, but I do try to cultivate both networks somewhat differently and absolutely simultaneously.
Okay.
So there's crossover. Sure. There's people you meet in business that become some of your lifelong friends.
Absolutely.
Right? And then there are friends that you can turn on to a business environment. But crossover aside, I'm very specific about if you use that target analogy, focusing on the bullseye.
Okay.
right? So the outer ring to me is that cast a wide net ring. Hey, you're still hitting the target, but these are folks you don't know if a relationship is going to turn into something important, turn into something, you know, just sort of convenient. But I tend to focus more towards the middle of both targets.
Sure.
And one of the things I do, and I'm comfortable at it, is speak publicly, speak in front of people, big groups, small groups. And that's been a great accelerant to all of the other activity you do, old school, new school, social, you know, regular phone calls, regular, hey, sure, let's grab a dinner, let's grab a lunch, let's grab a breakfast, sort of activities, that has really helped me. It's helped separate me from other people who I sort of compete with for people's attention.
Sure.
You know, and I find it fun. Some people find it terrifying, but I think for people to have an opportunity like this, you know, and then take that and go, okay, I'm going to speak in front of my coworkers. I'm going to join a class to hone those skills. I'm going to stand up in front of 1,500 people and do this.
Yep.
Ooh, okay, well, we've graduated.
Yep.
You know.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. You can get there.
So what I really liked about what Mike said was the envision two targets. I thought that was such a unique way to help visualize networking and kind of different layers involved in your network, in your audience. And you have, you know, he's got this outer ring, which is casting your wide net. And I look at that as kind of your big brand awareness and who you are, and people kind of know what you do. And then your middle ring is kind of being a little bit more focused and nurturing more of a targeted group, whether it's your personal or your professional audience. I thought that was really, really insightful and a great visual to help illustrate networking and the different kind of phases and elements associated with that. So, Mike, thank you so much for sharing that with our audience. The next guest that has some really interesting and profound insight related to nurturing your network is in episode 58 with Fred Gillick.
It's more or less listening and putting yourself into a place where you, in a space where you can listen. Because when you, you know, and when it's like sales time or when it's work time, you got to do that, right? But then if you don't like chill out or, you know, step back a little bit, then you don't have that time to create stuff. So for me, it's like, I'll just record, I'll listen and get in front of as many people that have, are doing cool stuff. It's, you know, because culture is tough, you know, because you're always trying, at least I'm always looking for that audience that wants to listen. And so if I go to like, you know, the VFW post, I can listen, but I'm not going to get a lot of great ideas there. But there's great people there. But if I go to a music festival, and I want to hear what those people are saying, mostly because, you know, that matters to them, then I riff really well with people who also make stuff for a living, you know, and if it's a different discipline, that's even better. Like musicians are great resources, mm-hmm. artists are great resources, painters are really good, you know, sculptors. I mean, all the people who kind of do what I do but don't do what I do
sure.
are always good to riff with.
Okay.
You know, so it's, but it's like, and then listening to what they say and how they do stuff. And then if you're lucky, man, you could steal a couple of tricks and reinvent them yourselves. But I think that goes the same with everybody who does this sort of stuff. They all kind of, you know, from a distance, like what someone does and allow themselves a chance to get in.
So my friends. Favorite piece of advice that Fred offered, and he emphasized it a lot, is obviously listening. There's so much truth to paying attention to your audience and your network and identifying what's going to resonate with them. So the best way to nurture and add value to your network is to really understand what connects with them. Fred's advice as far as listening, very impactful, very important. Thank you so much, Fred. Our next input is from episode 47 with Tim Sigelski. He's got a really interesting way of nurturing your network that I found quite fascinating.
Just a small trick, but something I like to do, especially in the summer. Doesn't work as well in February. But there's a TED Talk I saw a couple years ago about walking meetings.
Okay.
And I had, and it's not, this is going to sound kind of self-important, but like when people like contact me, they're like, hey, can you have coffee? You know, do you have time to go grab coffee? And the first couple times, that's fine. But after like, you know, the sixth in a row or whatever, you're like, I am way over caffeinated. you know, but I don't want to be a jerk. I don't want to turn them down. What's the appropriate thing to do in a situation like this? So to get back to that, the TED Talk about walking meetings, it's a simple concept. Like just and replace some of your meetings where you're sedentary, going to grab coffee, going to grab lunch or whatever, with some walking meetings. And I was like, well, this is great because, you know, I work on Marquette University's campus. And in the summer, we have a beautiful campus. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot of people around. Take advantage of it.
Yes.
So I started inviting people to come to campus, meet me in the lobby, and we'll just go take a walk. So I, you know, I find that do what works for you, you know, so to get back to your original question, to get in front of a network, to get in front of other people, what do you like to do?
Yep.
You know, and if it's to go to a mixer in a bar, then maybe that's it. But maybe it's not, you know, maybe you're a cyclist and you want to join a cycling group.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're a runner and you want to join a running group, you know, whatever works for you, make that kind of your.
Was that fun? So I like the idea of the walking meetings and. We've loosely implemented it in our office at Keystone Click just because, you know, we're sitting all day long. And the walking meetings I like for two reasons specifically. And unfortunately, in the Midwest here in Wisconsin, you only have so many days that you can actually do that. But on the days that you can, it's really good to take advantage of it. One, you're getting out of your seat and you're being active, you're stepping away from your computer. I mean, we have so many meetings, I feel like. But it's important to just get up and move and walk around, and you're being active. And while you're walking, this is the other part that I like about this, especially in, you know, where we are in the Third Ward, downtown Milwaukee area, I'm often running into other people that I know. So it gives me an opportunity to kind of connect further or remind myself to reach out to someone or just to have a quick little, hey, how's it going conversation while I'm having that walk. So walking meetings, unique yet effective. Thanks, Tim. And the final question, which is typically the final question, is when I ask if our guests have any final words of advice for our listeners. And the reason I really like this question is because this is typically where I find the most profound advice is offered from our guests to our listeners. So I've got three episodes I'm going to highlight here. Again, it was so challenging to identify which ones to pick, but you can always go back and listen to any of the episodes. But we're going to start with episode number 41 with Stephen Westner.
Yeah, I think that to go back to the piece that we were chatting about before, and in recognizing that you truly are in control of your own destiny, you have everything at your fingertips through either the greatest resources of education, knowledge, and so forth because of the information age. And if you're not at where it is that you want to be right now, it's nobody's fault. It's yours. You need to actually define where it is that you want to go and then find the right resources. And I don't disagree that some people are more naturally gifted and have greater intelligence and, you know, born with, you know, more financial resources than somebody else. But you know what? My grandfather grew up in Istanbul, Turkey, and came here in 1920. When he escaped, you know, ethnic cleansing in Turkey, my great-grandfather was murdered when my grandfather was 8 years old. Why? Because it was publicly okay to kill Greek males in Turkish squares. That was at a time when being a Greek male in Turkey was not so awesome. And so my grandfather became, he became the man of the household at the ripe old age of 8. And he did it with a smile on his face. And he came to this country when he was 18 with $10 in his pocket, couldn't speak the language, and knew nobody. You want to talk about no network? He knew nobody. And he worked in a downtown Canton, Ohio restaurant, cutting lettuce, washing dishes for 6 years. And 6 years later, after coming to a brand new country with no network and no money.
That was some really heavy advice, but very impactful. And I like how Stephen opens up with, you are in control of your own destiny. And he just flat out says it's nobody's fault except your own if you're not happy with the current state that you're in. There's so much truth to that. You just really need to step up and take action. If you're not happy, figure out what it is that you want to do. Where do you want to go? Who do you want to be? And learn or research what is the path that it's going to take for me to get there. That's so important on so many levels. And I think it's really sound advice that Stephen offers. So thank you, Stephen. The next episode, with some really good advice, with our final words, is episode number 27 with Courtney Idy.
I would issue a challenge. That's what I would do. what I would say to anybody listening would be, you know, your network is like a garden. You got to pluck the weeds and get rid of them. You got to plant more seeds every year. You got to fertilize the plants that you already have in there that you want to grow. And at the end of the day, at some point, you got to harvest the fruit. So your network should be doing all sorts of things for you. It should be something that you're spending time on. It should be something that you value so that you dedicate time to it. And I think you should never be in a position where you don't feel like you can rely on your network, at least that close network that you nurture. Mm-hmm. Like the people you choose to have in your inner circle should be people who know you well, know where you want to go. Like you should be telling them, these are my goals. This is where I'm going.
Yep.
And I need help.
Yeah.
Like I need you to be like thinking about what I want to accomplish, and I need you to help connect me with people.
Yep.
'Cause I always think of, you know, like if you never say anything, you can never expect to reap the rewards of what your wishes are.
Yep.
You've got to be transparent and open with your network and say, this is where I'm going. This is what I need help with. Be on the lookout for ways that I can grow and prosper.
Yeah. Absolutely. Courtney's advice was fun. I like the analogy of gardening, and there's so much truth to that. Plucking the weeds, you know, there's people in your life that you maybe are giving time to that are not appreciative and probably not the best use of your time. So stop doing that. But you also have to water those plants and nurture and put in the time and energy so that you can reap the rewards. And I think that's a fantastic analogy to networking. And that's something that everyone has to put time into and understanding what is the best use of your time and how what are the goals that you're hoping to achieve based on the activities that you're executing? The other thing that she said that I really liked is actually communicating with your network and saying, this is what I need help with. Don't be afraid to reach out and say, hey, do you know anyone that does this? Or I know that you do this. Can you give me some direction and advice on how to proceed? There's nothing wrong with asking for help. And if anything, your network will find it appreciative that you feel they are of value to you because of the information that they've offered in the past, and you're going to them again. So thank you, Courtney, for that fantastic advice. And the very last episode that we're going to highlight here today is number 61 with Kurt Rather.
If there's anything I haven't said yet, it's probably just, again, substance. If I could pick a central theme to my networking, it's just substance. Have something of substance to offer people, whether that's art, whether it's a product, whether it's a relationship that will benefit them. Like, always be thinking about, how can I help this person? How can I give them something of substance? And you'll probably go pretty far. You're putting your effort more into coming up with something of substance than you are into like developing a 10,000 person network, right?
Sure.
The time is there no matter what. Mm-hmm. So you can either spend all of your time being at networking events and going out and developing like a vast network of people, but that vast network of people isn't very helpful to you unless you have something helpful to offer them.
Correct.
So for me, it's like sink the time into the developing something of value and substance first, and then network.
Yep.
And you can do the both simultaneously, but I think the substance part is the most important. And as an introvert, that's the part that I'm most comfortable with.
Yep.
I like tinkering. I like just working on something of value, and I like putting my time into that. So that's to me what's the most important.
Mm,
I mean, we really wanted a wrinkle is that for some people, their network is that substance.
Mm-hmm.
Is
yep.
it, you know, that's yeah. kind of an interesting. So the reason I said that is I'm thinking about why myself and Matt Sablejack work so well together. Is that his like vast? He knows somebody for anything, right?
Sure.
His vast network is in some ways his skill set. He's also very creative and very very intelligent marketing strategist. But his network does kind of become a product as well, which is another just interesting thing to think about. But for me, the best thing I can do, the most effort I can put into something is.
Ooh, Kurt brought a lot of substance to that piece of advice. No, seriously though, there is a lot of power behind putting yourself second and that person that you're trying to serve first and saying, how can I help this individual? What can I give to them? How can I be a resource to them? And whether that is a tangible product or an introduction, as he kind of spoke to at the end regarding the network as a substance, and this is something that I really resonate with, that my network has been a huge value piece to a number of people, to the rest of my network. And I love that. I find joy in someone reaching out to me saying, hey, Lori, do you know somebody that does blah, 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 blah? And I'm like, yeah, I have this great person you should meet. And then I make it happen and there's smiles all around. And that substance right there. Thank you, Kurt, for that very sound advice. Again, thank you so much to all of our listeners and your continued support. There are many, many more new and awesome episodes, fantastic guests, some solo casts. I'm going to bring some educational input, and I'm making some substance meaty pieces to share with all of you. Lots of exciting things, high value information coming in the very near future. So thank you again. Give yourself a round of applause. I love all my listeners, all of my guests. Until next time, thank you again.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking. We'll be right back.